Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Gillian Radford, Managing Director at Ad Therapy. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, how
good. So it's quite an interesting one, because a place like Facebook, which is so well known to us, in terms of a rebranding, this is must be an amazingly difficult and complex decision to make.
I think it probably is a difficult and complex decision, and I think there are people that look at it and say there's a practical reason to do it, and there's possibly a cynical reason to do it. So from the outside, we can only guess.
But the brand Facebook, that is something that is probably one of the most well-known brands globally today.
Yeah.
How does it get that immense power?
Well, just through its enormous usage. I mean, the number of users of Facebook make it something like the second biggest country in the world on its own. You know, it's a massive community, and it's a ubiquitous name. So it's not a brand that changes its name for different languages, for example. So no matter where it goes, everybody knows the same brand name. It's like Coca-Cola. And it has enormous power.
Is it a positive brand? I mean, I know obviously it's a very powerful brand, but there's some brands we love and hate at the same time. There are some brands we just absolutely love. What is our relationship with the Facebook brand?
I think for the average user, it's a positive relationship. I think that it enables people to get together with community, and I think the functional aspect of Facebook on a day-to-day basis is very powerful. It enables a lot of small businesses around the world to be able to trade, and to their e-commerce platform is huge. So, you know, if you're selling cupcakes, you can easily market, and if you're selling something slightly more complicated, you can also easily build a business on Facebook. But it is one of the least trusted brands in the world, and it is people do know that it is responsible for a lot of misinformation, and for a lot of hate speech, and for a lot of very negative activity. And of course, that they know so much about us, and that they use and manipulate our data so dramatically. But if you don't really know about that, and you don't really care about it, then you love Facebook. If you do know about it, it's a very much a love and hate relationship.
The fact that they're not providing us, I mean, obviously the algorithms, what they know about us aside, but the misinformation, all of that type of negativity coming out of Facebook is, of course it is their fault, because that's the platform, but the reality is it says more about us than it does about Facebook. Maybe it's just more painful for us to, or difficult for us to recognize that. But it actually says more about us, because if we are seeing certain articles, it means those are the articles that we are attracted to. If we're reading things that is that type of misinformation, whether it's politically, medically, or anything else, that's what we're drawn to. So to some extent, Facebook is actually a mirror of ourselves that we don't like.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, my beef with Facebook and some of the other social media companies all along has been that their technicality has been that they've refused to classify themselves as a media. So they say, we are not a radio station, we are not a newspaper, we don't have editors, and we are not responsible for what's on our platform. The problem is, as you know, being on the radio, you are responsible as a platform for the messaging that you put out. And what irritates me about Facebook is that their business model is exactly the same as a radio station, because they survive by selling advertising. And so they should have very early on taken responsibility for the messaging that is on their platform. And yes, the fact that hate sells, I mean, you know, there's far more engagement with hateful pieces that are posted, whether the engagement is against the piece or for the piece. They know that hate sells, and so that's why they do it.
It's very frightening. Did this really come about during the Trump administration that people started seeing this and finding that Facebook was problematic? Or was this something that was happening already before that we were aware of?
Look, I mean, I always find it amazing that, you know, the Facebook was started by Mark Zuckerberg to rape the physical features of girls in
yes,
college.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so it never started off with, yes. with a good intention. But I think it was sort of bubbling along quite happily, parents, people sharing, you know, kittens and recipes and whatnot. And there was certainly a dark side of it. But, yes, with the Trump administration, and actually before the election in 2016, I think that's when it really kicked off, and it was manipulated by Cambridge Analytica, who created thousands and thousands and thousands of fake profiles. And then what they did was they found, I think Facebook has something like 1,000 data points on us. I think it's 800 or something. But they crafted messages that were designed to make people fearful. It weren't true. So, you know, Hillary Clinton is a lizard. Whatever. You know, ridiculous things. And then they would target those to people that they knew were terrified of certain things. And that's where the big issue comes in, is how they manipulated the data and the fact that they then served those groups based on their fear factors, absolute untruth. So it's fine for advertising to target and to give you something about the new washing powder. Hmm. It's not fine to target and to tell you absolute untruths. They're terrifying.
Well, we do know that in marketing that there is this concept of marketing to people's fears. It's a very powerful, I mean, I don't think it's particularly sustainable, but it is a powerful tool.
Hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I mean, when I say fear, I mean, marketing often looks for people's vulnerability.
And
it looks for people's anxieties. It looks for young men that don't think they can get a girlfriend. And so, hello, you know, absolute solution.
Right.
So there is that looking for insight into behavior. But what they did with those campaigns, Cambridge Analytica did, was they just served them absolutely not true, pieces of news. And, of course, Cambridge Analytica has been held responsible, but Facebook allowed it to happen. And I think what the big hoo-ha is right now is that there's been this whistleblower who's come out and the reason she's come out is that she was part of their ethics committee. And they said, oh, don't worry, we've got this lovely ethics and integrity committee. We're going to sort it out. And they've now disbanded it. And the people that were on the committee, who see all the stuff that comes through, have said that's outrageous.
It's really phenomenal, but it still begs the question that if we as users, you know, we like to complain and we do complain, but we're quite passive in that. We don't necessarily take control either of what is coming our way. And as we continue, I'm still not really seeing signs that we will. It's all still about Facebook and their responsibility, which is fine because they have one. But where's our responsibility in all of this?
Yeah, I think the huge sadness for me is a great many people just don't realize they're being misled.
Mm.
And, you know, there was people talk about the fact that Facebook was responsible for a massacre in Myanmar. And those people, whoever believed whatever information they were being served, it's quite right. You know, probably shouldn't have run out and killed people. But for some reason, it inflamed them to the point that they believed it. And, it doesn't say good about us at all. But I also think that unless you're someone that is a student of this stuff, it's quite easy to be led down the road.
It's quite different from traditional advertising in the sense that when you watch an advert, you know that advert is coming to you to sell you a product. So it's almost that you're on an equal footing because they're trying to deliver a message and you have a choice whether to receive that message, but you know that you receive, but you know that there's an attempt to do so. The way in which it's functioning at the moment through, let's say, fake accounts and articles that are not necessarily accurate or true at all, that just changes the playing field completely.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook also owns Instagram. I always have a quiet little chuckle because I have friends who are very active on Instagram and on WhatsApp, but decry Facebook. And they say, oh, I would never be on Facebook. You know, impinges your rights. And I go, but you know that they own Instagram and WhatsApp. So what happened on Instagram was that people were being served ads that didn't look like ads, as you say. And then they changed it. You now have to state that it's an advertisement. Whether you still notice that or not, I don't know. But at least they're trying to do something with that. Right. And I think in fairness to Facebook, I think that they are working on all of these things. They are aware of their negative image. They are trying to make certain changes. I know, for example, one of the changes they did recently was they downweighted the impact of views on your timeline. So a lot of the negative information people were being served, particularly on politics, was from dodgy news operations. And so what Facebook has done has downweighted where you see the news. It's no longer so important on your timeline. Which of course then led to a lawsuit in Australia by the genuine legal company media company. He said, wait a minute, Facebook is a massive channel for us. And you can't just now put us to the bottom of the barrel. That's how we make our money. And they've been having a lawsuit there. So I think they are aware of it and they're trying to make some changes. But to your point about our own human behavior, you know, I feel like in a way the genie was let out the bottle. And actually kind of making hate speech and intolerance acceptable. And that people's filters just have disappeared and they no longer even think they need to be kind of tolerant.
Yeah.